It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to the Adventures in Business podcast. We are here on this lovely sunny day. This is Amy Zander, your co-host. And as always, I'm with the lovely Lisa Fisher. How are you doing today, Lisa?
Doing great, Amy. I actually got to experience some of that sunshine before we hopped on this show today.
That's great. And I'm excited because I get to see you twice today. Once on this podcast and then tonight at the Chamber Mixer. So I'm super excited about that. More time with Lisa, the better.
Thanks. I feel the same about you.
All right. So Lisa, tell us who we have today on this adventure we're going on.
Excellent. I'm excited to learn about John Mashney. He was recommended and introduced to us on the podcast from a mutual friend, Katie Crick. And I'm going to let John share with us who he is and what he does. So welcome, John. We're super excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much. Great to be here. Very great to be here. Basically, I'm an attorney, business tax and intellectual property is kind of the areas that I focus on, really a transactional attorney. I also write online. I've been doing that for a number of years. And I went to film school many years ago, worked for a number of years, and then went back to law school and started practicing law. I also teach at Cooley Law School in their tax department and am very involved in lots of other things, including in the entertainment field, produce movies with a great group of people. And then recently I started moving my writing from more like nonfiction to children's books. It's been one of the most fun things I've ever done in my whole life. So kind of blend that all together, have four beautiful kids and an amazing wife. And so kind of just try to make it through life, doing all that stuff and staying sane.
Wow. So right brain, left brain, you got a whole lot of stuff going on there from the attorney side of things and from writing, authoring children's books. How did you get started writing books?
Well, I always wanted to write. And before I went to law school, I actually wrote a few screenplays and I was just always interested in storytelling. And then, you know, I just, as it happens, went back to law school and kind of have to put some of those writing goals or dreams away. And maybe 4 or 5 years after I got out of law school, I just said, I'm just going to start writing and just see where it goes. And that led to me wanting to write a nonfiction book about reinventing yourself. I just thought that was really appropriate and really interesting, right? And I only had about 15 minutes a day to write though. So I would literally sit in the morning, sit down at a desk before everyone woke up and type for 15 minutes. And then that was it. And I talked to a really good friend of mine and he said, you're never going to finish that book. You're going to be like 65 and the book's not going to be done. And he was right, right? It's like 15 minutes a day. That's all I could carve out. I was very busy, right? And so I kind of was at a crossroad, like, what do I do? Well, that same guy came over to my house one day and my kids basically just assaulted him and were hugging and beating him up and talking to him and laughing with him. And they told him a story that I told my kids. And I would just always tell my kids stories at nighttime. And they told him a story that I told my kids that I never intended anyone else to hear. It was the story that eventually came our first book. And he said, John, you should not write this nonfiction book about reinventing. You need to write a children's book about this story. This is hilarious. And it was very kind of embarrassing because I just never intended anyone to know this story that I told my kids. And I've told them lots of stories. And so I really had to think about it. And this was actually December 2019. So it was really not very long ago. So I just said, okay. And the crazy thing that happened was I had never thought about writing a children's book ever. I'd always loved telling stories, just loved that, written screenplays, went to film school, things like that. But a few years before, I was in an online group with a woman who wrote a book called How to Self-Publish a Children's Book. And I just try to support people if I know them. So she wrote a book. I bought her book, right? And I just, you know, didn't think anything of it, put it on my shelf and didn't touch it for years until, you know, my friend Jerome says, hey, you should write a children's book. So I see on my bookshelf one day, hey, Jerome thinks I should write this book. I own a book called How to Self-Publish a Children's Book. So I actually reached out to Evie and emailed her and said, hey, you're gonna think I'm crazy, you know, but what do you think? And she was like, John, you have to do it. Oh my gosh, you have to do it. So, you know, I said, okay. And what it turned into though, was I didn't really want something else to do. I wanted a way to write this book and kind of make it a success even before the book came out. And so I spoke with my wife and we said, okay, we'll do this together, not just as a couple, but as a family. And we'll use it as a way to teach our kids about how to start a business and how to create something, how to execute, how to write, how to like do something, take an idea and turn it into something real and use it as a way to teach our kids. So we intentionally incorporated our kids into every step of the process. And it was their story because I told them the story and we probably went over the story or told the story about 100 different times, right? Just because they loved it over and over. They wanted to hear the same story over and over. And eventually I said, okay, I just got to write a first draft. I'd listened to Evie. She kind of coached me through everything. And she said, hire an editor and do this and do that. And then she reviewed it. And probably in December of 2019, I had like a draft. And then January or February, we kind of had it edited. But then that's, if you remember, that's when the pandemic really started. And so I didn't feel it was appropriate to tell my silly children's story. And then what happened was I didn't touch it for about 2 months, maybe end of April. I found a printed copy of my children's story, not illustrated yet. And I picked it up and I just read it. It was about midnight in the middle of the week. No one was awake at my house. And I just started laughing out loud. Like I just thought my own story was cracking me up. It was very funny. And I was laughing in my kitchen alone by myself, you know, just laughing at something I wrote. And I just had this realization. And I said, you know, this pandemic is crazy. Everybody's stressed out. This is probably what the world needs a little bit, is just a little bit more joy injected into our lives. So that's when I pulled the trigger and we hired the illustrator. And I just kind of made the commitment. I hadn't really told anybody at this point, like I was writing this silly story. And I made the commitment. I'm like, okay, here we go. And I just thought, what are my clients going to think? What is my law firm going to think? What's my family, friends going to think? And we found an amazing illustrator, local to Lansing, Kay Cosgrove, is just so amazing. And we chose everything as a family. We did it as a family. And it came out in fall of 2020. And it's just been such a huge, so much fun. And in everything we did as a family, we chose the illustrator, the editor, we chose the marketing. I asked my kids, how much should we charge for the book? How much of it should we give away? I made the kids give away some of the money. And then we had a conversation to say, I said, you pick the charities we're going to give the money to, and it has to be charities that help kids. And it was probably one of the most fun conversations I've ever had with my children. Just they started rattling off charities, which I didn't even know they knew the names of. And you know, it was just so fun to just have these conversations with them. And then I said, well, you know, we got to write a sequel, right? Like what's coming out next? And so we released Santa, you know, the second book, Santitude. And the book itself is the story of Cinderella. And again, this is why it's embarrassing. The story of Cinderella, except when the clock strikes midnight and she leaves the ball, she's running down the steps. And instead of losing her slipper, she picks up her slipper and then she passes gas. She toots, right? And then the only way that the prince has to identify Cinderella, his true love, is the smell of her toot. And so he has to go around the kingdom and ask all the maidens to toot, basically, to find the smell of his true love. And that's Cinder Toot. That's our story. That's the first book. And then we came out with Santa Toot this past Christmas. The sequel, Children of Cinder Toot, is getting illustrated right now. Kate is doing that. And then I'm writing editing the fourth book and then writing the fifth book. So it's just crazy. We have like 15 or 20 ideas that we're doing as a family. And it's so fun. And, you know, it's all turned into this amazing project that we can do together as a family. And my kids love it. My wife even kind of puts her little polish, adds a little humor to her humor, which she's very funny, very witty. So it turned into this a really fun project that we do as a family. But it's just all started with my friend saying, hey, what are you doing? You're never going to finish your other book. Why don't you do this silly thing that your kids told me? So that's a little glimpse into the fun and the process.
John, how old are your kids?
11, 9, 7, and 4.
Okay. So yeah, I was wondering that as you're telling this story about trying to picture them getting involved in that kind of thing. That's perfect.
If you look at the most recent book, Santitude, all the kids are based on my kids. So it's kind of a good proxy. If you're wondering, like, what do my kids look like or act like? That's it, right there. Just pick up the book and you can see them.
And for our listeners, how can they get their hands on these books? Where can they find them?
You can just go, they're on Amazon, right? Just search on Amazon, Cindertoot, Santatoot, or just go to my website, johnmashner.com. There's a book section, or go to cindertoot.com too. You can check them out.
Okay. And we'll have the links for those in our show notes for this episode as well. So I loved how you said that your friend just came over and gave you that advice and was like, nope, you need to write a different kind of book. I think it's so important that we all have those people in our lives that recognize a spark or a talent or an opportunity for us and point it out to us and then cheerlead us along the way. And that sounds like that was a perfect opportunity and well worth listening to him about. So that's great.
I think I would have never made that decision myself. It just would never have crossed my mind to turn these crazy, silly stories that I thought were just private. Like, this is our private kind of, you know, it's in our house, right? This is, doesn't leave the house. And then he just said, no, this is funny, man. This is great. And you're exactly right. It happens. There's not many people who will really like speak up and say to someone else, I think you should do this. I think this is crazy. And there's a guy I know online, his name's Richie Norton. And he said, this is what he said that really, I was like, tried to take this advice. He's like, the stupidest thing you can think of is oftentimes the thing you need to do next. And he wrote a book called The Power of Starting Something Stupid. And so I sent him an email after. I was like, okay, Richie, I'm really putting this to the test, buddy. You know, we'll see how it goes. And he just loved it. So sometimes you need someone to push you over the edge a little bit to do that thing that maybe seems crazy or doesn't fit in the rest of your life. And for me, it's been so rewarding. It's been so fun in so many ways. I can tell you, you know, so many stories of people who reached out. I've always wanted to write a book. Always wanted to do something with my kids. I've always wanted to find a way to teach my kids about money or teach my kids about business. Or honestly, even lawyers. I've had lawyers reach out to me and say, I've always wanted to write a book. And I just haven't done it. So it's amazing. Those kind of people, we really have to applaud them and appreciate them. And I'm lucky I had someone like that.
Well, yeah. And also, I think you said her name was Evie, the woman who wrote the book about how to get your children.
Yeah.
It must have been so rewarding and fulfilling for her to have you reach out to her and say, okay, I'm going to use your book. We're going to do this. Because
I hope so. Yeah.
That was her goal, right? So, yeah.
Well, Evie's fantastic. And I've had so many people ask me, like, what advice would you give? Like, if someone wants to write a children's book, and I created like this free email course in just how to write a children's book. And one of the things I say in the course is listen to everything Evie says. Like, don't listen to me. Like, just follow Evie. So I give my kind of general advice, but then I say, just buy Evie's book. Evie has a course. Like, I tell you, like, what, you know, what I did essentially is like, listen to Evie. And that's amazing. Like, she's created a career. She coaches people on how to write children's books and self-publish them too. It's pretty amazing. And I think a lot of people know this. It's so easy to self-publish a book. There are certainly things to know, but it just empowers people when you realize like our technology and the ability to distribute your work. It's just, it's easy, right? It's not, the process is simple. The technology is there. And I think what I became excited about was this is a new avenue where I love marketing and I love being in this world of being online, right? And being able to spread your message. And I just realized like, hey, I can tell these crazy stories in a way with the technology where I don't need to like, there's no gatekeeper. There's nobody stopping me. It's just literally whatever I can create with my kids. And if you look at our list of stories, we have so many just crazy stories. We're writing our version of Romeo and Juliet, right? That's the book I'm writing right now, but it's for kids. So with a happy ending, but it's like, but there's just no barrier. No one's going to stop me. I can do, you know, we can tell whatever story we want to tell.
I love being unstoppable. That's what I think. You're unstoppable. But is there a next? Is there any, you know, there are such great tips and processes, engaging your family, using a time when, you know, it was pretty chaotic, of course, for those first 2 years of the pandemic. And are you going to do anything else? Like, do you speak to groups? Do you and your family go out and do things like that?
Well, I would love to speak. I try to share, you know, I do a lot of speaking. Usually it's like legal topics or business topics, talking with, you know, entrepreneurs and creative people. And I do work with some great film people in the film industry, just more like behind the scenes and marketing and production distribution. You know, I would love to share if anyone wants to hear, I'd like to share. I'd love to kind of share the story of what we did. Part of, you know, like the purpose of the books is not to just make a bunch of money. The purpose of the books is to do something with my family and my kids. But also, like, I've always wanted to just tell stories. Like, if you say, like, what does John love? I love telling stories. And this was my way to share some of the stories that I've created that I have tried to entertain my kids with. Whatever that leads to, I don't know. But here's what I do know is that people get inspired when they hear about these types of activities, right? This type of process. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was never about writing and publishing a book. It was about the process and spending time with my kids. But also, and this is the way I think about it, is this is what I realized. It's so easy to just think that your story doesn't matter, right? And so what I tried to do is build around the story, the purpose of the story, but also show people that we can expose our kids to how we make money, how we operate in the business world, in the professional world, how we even use my legal skills. So I used all my legal skills in the process of the book, right? I'm a lawyer, an intellectual property lawyer. I followed all my own advice. I have talked to so many people who want to write books, and I've given them advice, and not just books, music, movies, art, whatever it is, right? And I finally got to feel like, hey, I'm going to just take my own advice and then tell people, like, look what I did. Like, you know, I realize it's hard to get a record deal. I realize it's hard to sell whatever artistically you're creating. Yes, I get it. I'm doing the same thing. But let me show you some of the ideas that I have, some of the marketing ideas that I have, and some of the excitement. Like, so when I look at it, we're not selling books. We're just not. We sell about 30 minutes of joy with a child. That's what we sell. And that's what we're trying to create and bring as value when every single book we create. And you'll see, like, it's about 30 minutes of joy. Like, if you read it with a kid, if you don't laugh, I'm sorry, right? But most of the time, if you read it with a kid, they're going to be smiling, laughing, they're going to love it. And that's just something you just can't, it's so rare. It's so rare to have joy in this world. There's lots of pain. There's lots of crazy stuff going on, whether it's COVID or a war or just stress, anxiety. And so the message I have is we're just bringing joy. That's it. That's what we're bringing to the table. And whatever it looks like, if it's me sharing the message, great. If it's someone buying our books, great. If it's me going on podcasts and spreading that message, fantastic. I love it. It's exciting. So what's next? I don't know. And I think that's the fun that I'm sharing with the kids. Who knows where this will go? But we've got like 20 more books on the way. It's just getting, you know, putting them in the pipeline and seeing where it goes.
Get ready for the biggest marketing summit in Lansing's history. Circle Friday, May 6, 2022 on your calendar. Zedia Media will be hosting the summit at the Royal Scott Banquet Facility. All the big bosses of marketing will be there, including key sponsors like M Connections, Super Web Pros, Uno Deuce Multimedia, Paper Image, Michigan Creative, Jungle Jane, and Weathervane Roofing. Tickets are on sale now at zediamedia.com. That's zeediamedia.com. 17 presentations on marketing trends you need to know for your business. Big prizes, lots of fun. Your presence will be honored. Your absence will be noted.
Were the screenplays that you wrote, were they comedies or were they a little more serious?
Way more serious. Yeah. One was about George Washington because I was kind of like fascinated with Revolutionary War. And I wrote this like screenplay about young George Washington. And then another one was kind of like this drama, which I actually don't even have the scripts because I wrote them so long ago and I don't even have the computer. So they're kind of lost into somewhere on an old computer somewhere. I don't even know where it is. But I always wanted to tell stories that I thought were uplifting. I just was always interested in that. And that's, I think, kind of comes out through this weird filter with my kids. It's been really fun.
You're doing a great job of feeding other people's souls with joy. Where do you go to get your inspiration or where do you find joy?
Well, I think that's a deep question. I think like part of it is one with my kids, like 100%, right? There's just something beautiful about any kid, just anywhere, right? Like the innocence that they have, the sense of kind of wonder that they have. It's part of what kind of activates my mind in telling the story, right? I can think of when I had lunch, I think I went into my son's classroom and I had lunch with, I think it was maybe first grade or second grade, and all these young boys, I was sitting next to them and it was segregated boys and girls, right? And they were pulling out their lunches. And I just remember sitting down and I think I, you know, my son was eating lunch and all these kids were eating lunch. And what they were talking about was the most fun conversation I've had in years. They were just basically like fighting about which Avenger is better and, you know, fighting about Iron Man versus Captain America. And I just was like, this conversation is amazing, right? Like they are just so passionate about like who is better. And it was just hilarious. I'm just dying. And then I said, guys, you know, my favorite is Captain America. There's no question. And then they were like arguing with me. It's just, there's something amazing about kids, I think. So that's one aspect. I think too, it's a worldview, right? Like my faith really is what grounds a lot of it, right? If you don't have a worldview that can give you that sense of not just fulfillment, but like sense of like your place in the world. I think for me, that's extremely, that's kind of where the source of everything that I come from is like, hey, there is a purpose greater than just in the day-to-day toil of life. But then also it's relationships, it's people, right? Like there's amazing people around me and I'm really blessed to have a great family, amazing friends and support. And it's certainly not every single person, but you know, that's absolutely a source of joy. And, I know not everyone has, you know, any or all of those things. So it's when joy, I think, is something that spreads, and that's what we're trying to do is just spread that little piece, right? That little piece of laughter, that little piece of silliness, even though there's a lot of other crazy stuff going on. You just need one person to kind of have that little spark and it can spread.
You know, it's funny. You were talking about being at the school at the lunch table and listening. I have a great friend that wrote a book called Plays Well With Others, and it's all about team building. And he goes to NASA and Pepsi. He's got some big clients teaching them team building. But he'll tell you everything from that book came from the 12-year-olds on the playground.
That's great.
But if we say we're going to go hang out at the lunch yard nowadays, that's not a good thing to say. How do you envision, your oldest is 11, how do you envision keeping them still engaged and interested in your project, your family bonding when they become teenagers?
That's a great question. I think it's something I've talked about with all the kids. Like Max is kind of at the edge of, he's kind of like too cool for the stories because he originally heard them with my daughter, my oldest daughter, Ella. They're 2 years apart. And originally that they heard the story, this is probably 5 or 6 years ago, right? So, you know, at some point they were the perfect age for the stories. And now they're kind of like moving, you know, moving up and it's like, okay, the age range are kind of outside the age range. And what I discovered is certainly like the book, my books right now are ages 5 to 9, 4 to 10, 5 to 9 is like the target age range. But even Max, we'll read it, you know, and I'll read the drafts. Even Max, he'll kind of roll his eyes and then he'll be like, okay, that's pretty funny, Dad. Okay, that's pretty funny. I think they'll like that one. And Ella is kind of unique because in the first book, Cinder 2, the character's name is, it's Cinderella, but we call her Ella. And I did that intentionally because to me, the story made sense to not call her the name that was really like a name that was a negative term that people called her. Like her name is Ella, right? To show that it's a story about a girl. It's not the story about what these people call her critically, right? But that's my daughter's name is Ella. And so she was attached so much to that first book. And you can tell she really felt it was special. And the moment that I knew how much, I didn't realize how much it meant to her. I knew she thought it was funny. But when we got a copy and she was reading it, because she could read, you know, when we told it, she couldn't read, but when it came out, she could read. And she read the dedication and it had her name in it. And she was just kind of beaming as she read it out loud. And so I think she kind of, I saw for the first time, like she really appreciated it. And then when the other kids kind of saw it, because Esme is 7 now, but she was really too young when we were telling the story. I started naming the other characters after the other kids. So then they started to feel more of this emotional attachment, right? So in the book that I'm working on now, which I'll tell you, maybe this, I haven't really announced it too many places, but it's my version of Rapunzel. It's called Manpunzel. And it's a story of a man in the tower whose body hair doesn't stop growing. And then he's rescued by a knight who happens to be a girl. Okay. And the name of the knight is my daughter's name. And so it brings the kids in. And what I've noticed is my girls want to now, they'll say like, Dad, can I illustrate your books when I'm older? Can I help write the books when I'm older? So I realized there's this like time frame where my kids are only a certain age. But what we've done is we've come up with the stories, right? We've come up with the stories and then they want to share. And what's really cool, and just to tie it all together, the kids pick three charities and we split up a percentage of all the royalties that come in. And now the kids, when I like about once or twice a year, I'll divide up and figure out how much money we got to give away. We send the money together and they want to go visit these places. So it's like linked to more than just selling books, right? There's a creative process, which is fun, which we laugh about. And the kids read the drafts and they tell me like, Dad, this is funny. Or Dad, let's do this. Dad, let's change it. Right. We had this idea. This is the kind of stuff conversations you have. Should the main character's name be Manpunzel? Right. Cause that's the name of the story, Manpunzel. And we were like, no, we don't think the name should be Manpunzel. So it's like, it should be, you know, we all were arguing about what the name should be. Right. And I'm like 90% sure what it is, but like, you know, that's the conversation. But at the same time, we're saying like, my kids wanted to give to Ellie's Place. So like, we're going to go tour Ellie's Place with the kids. So it like attaches it. So I realize like, am I going to be writing these books for 30 years? I don't know. Right. I don't know. But I'm hoping that we'll kind of capture some of the stories that we have, and to link it to my legal, you know, background, we'll develop intellectual property that someone else could, you know, we could pass the torch to, whether it's one of my kids or somebody else, or maybe nobody. But the bottom line is this is something I'm trying to teach the kids, create something. And then at some point someone will take that torch from us. And I will say my daughter Esme wants to illustrate, just because she's like, Dad, I want to draw the pictures one day. I want to be an artist. So again, like, that's just beautiful. I don't know where it's going to go. I have no idea, but I think it's open-ended in such a cool, fun, creative way. I'm excited to find out. You know, I've had people reach out to me. Do you want to do an animated movie or series or all this kind of stuff? Turn your books into NFTs. There's just all this crazy stuff, but I'm super excited about the possibilities. Right now it's just planting seeds. And then when it's time to harvest, I guess we'll see what the seeds turn into.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that you have your own built-in little focus group there with your four kids and the age ranging, and they can tell you whether something's funny or not funny. And that's just perfect.
And by the way, they've contributed significantly to the stories, right? So it's like, I'm, you know, 40, whatever year old guy, like I'm just don't always know what's funny. I mean, I know kind of what I think is funny, but it's all about making the kids laugh. It's all about, and having an editor too has helped, but the kids, I got to make the kids laugh early, right? It's like, you got to first couple of pages, we got to have the kids like smirk or smile, even if they've heard it before, because like you said, sometimes it's, if the goal, it all goes back to the goal. The goal is bring joy. If we don't bring joy, we need to fix it. We got to change. We got to figure it out, right? So I've got my kids, I've got nieces and nephews, I've got friends' kids. I'll like say, hey, you know, will you read this to your kids? Tell me what you think. It's important. It's very, very important.
So one of the best pieces of advice you received was from your friend that said, you've got to write these books. What advice would you give to our listeners, whether it's a piece of business advice or it's about bringing joy into the world? What's the best piece of advice you would like to share?
Well, I would say like in any endeavor, I would say one thing I would just say is two things. I think the first thing I would say is how I end a lot of my emails that I send out to like my book people that want to subscribe to updates on my book. But I always just say right now counts forever. There's really scarcity of people who appreciate the time in each moment. And right now counts forever. Like you can pivot so quickly in life. Every moment counts. And if you think, it's like start to think about the moments where you think, well, this doesn't matter. This doesn't count. For somebody, it does count, right? For somebody, for somewhere, whether it's you and your kids, whether it's us talking on this interview. And that's such a cool way to express it that I just close up so many of my emails, right? With right now, remember, right now counts forever. And so that's maybe like a general advice. It's not necessarily advice, just something to remember. But I would say, as a piece of advice, I think the thing that I learned is I'm super busy. And I know lots of people are busy. So they say, I couldn't write a book, or I could never do what you did, or you must be superhuman. And it's like, what I say is, I built a team and found the team, and then the team helped me write the books. And I think that applies to anything. And you could probably say, how does a podcast like this get, you know, organized? It's probably the same thing, right? Build the team first, put the right people in the right seats, and then magic happens, right? If you read the first draft of Cindertude, you would not recognize it from the draft that's in books that's out there. I had amazing people helping me. I had Evie helping me. I hired an editor that used to edit Disney books. She's incredible. Brooke Vitale is amazing. We had a team of people. Kate Cosgrove, the illustrator, right? Had a team. I had a launch team. I had a support team. I had my kids. I had my wife, who added so much fun humor. So in addition to Right Now Counts Forever, I would say build the team first. That's the first step. And that's exactly what I tell business clients, entrepreneurs, business owners, build the team. If you don't have the team, everything else is going to fall apart and you're really going to struggle.
Amy and I were talking about time earlier today, just the fact that we make time for the things that are important, but I love that team aspect. And there's accountability around that too. You don't want to let your team down. So very, very great advice. You talk about being super busy and I get it, but is there anything you want the listeners to know about you that we've not asked you about?
You know, I mean, I think there's so much we could talk through. I think I've had so much fun in the writing process, tried to incorporate it into my law practice and what I do. I think if people want to learn more, they can always just follow me, go to johnmashing.com, or I have an email list too, where you'll get book updates and other updates. I think the biggest thing is my stated goal is just to share joy and spread joy, right? I think two purposes in life: share the truth through stories and build influence that ultimately helps people. And that's why I practice law. That's why I write the books. That's why I spend time with the family. That's why I come and talk to people like the both of you, right? It's like we're trying to share the truth through stories and build influence that ultimately helps people. And one of the ways we do that is through spreading joy. Crazy ways, right? It might seem crazy, but it's spreading joy through silly stories, fun books.
That's lovely. I love the sentiment of spreading joy or sharing joy. And your story about the book creation is fascinating. When I was looking at your bio and information about you on your law practice website, I was particularly interested in the fact that you have a lot of experience with entertainment law. As you know, my heart is with the art community in Lansing. And so that's interesting to me. And I also have a marketing company, so I do a lot of social media. So two questions that I came up with for you based on your experience. The first one is, if you could give our listeners, anybody, if you own a business, thinking about writing a book, whatever, so you have something you want to market, what is a tip or two that you could give us on capitalizing on social media right now?
Wow. So I think you should be using social media, like just that's like maybe number one. Right? Though a lot of people resist it, even I think it's hard to figure out a strategy. That being said, I am a full supporter. I think the trend is there, right? Social, but it's not just like use it to just say you're using it. I think you have to have a message. You have to have a story that you tell that's compelling. And it's not just strictly interruption and, hey, buy my thing, or, hey, buy my book, right? And even how I've incorporated my own marketing of my book, it's not just buy my book. It's here's the story of how we did it. And usually that to me, and I found it to be effective, that's more effective than saying buy this or go to this, right? So it's the story behind it. And one of the most fascinating, incredible books that I read to prepare for writing children's books is a book called Perennial Seller by Ryan Holiday. And the reason I mentioned this in response to your question is because a lot of times we think that we can just market, but not, and that's the only thing we need to do. Where this book, Perennial Seller, really taught me that the first thing that I need to do to have really good marketing is to have a really good product, a really good service, and incorporate that into my marketing. So I put so much time into making my Cinderella fart book into the best, funniest, most joy-bringing book I could. And that includes all of the little clues. There's a secret message. There's hints in there. There's little jokes in the artwork, right? And so all of that went into making the best product that I could. And then I tried to pick, and this again, this is kind of crazy when you think about it, but I picked Cinder 2 as the first story to tell because I knew that when I told people I wrote a Cinderella 2 book, it would either push people away or people would instantly love it. It would immediately polarize people. So it wasn't just being on social and it wasn't just telling the story. It was picking a story that would attract the people that I wanted to find, that I wanted to attract. And so part of it is being on social and hiring companies like yours, Amy, so that you understand like, hey, let me just get in the game. Let me just get on the wave or ride the trend, right? But then it also became like, let's get to work on my product, on my service. Like, don't neglect that internal self-reflective, right? Like, if I'm going to get the word out, I got to be really good. I got to deliver on the promise. And in addition to doing all the work of being on social, because it's not just enough to be on it. And I think you would probably agree. Like, you can't just say, like, I'm just going to post and that's it. Like, it's about having like this comprehensive strategy. And comprehensive doesn't have to be long, but it's just an understanding of who am I trying to attract? What story am I telling? And then how does the story affect them? I think that's what's so, like, I know, and again, I guess I didn't know at the time, but I know after having told my story enough, it resonates with people. And I only tell the story because that's what resonated with me. So you got to really look and see like what resonates with the people you're trying to attract and then use the tools to get you closer to those people. Because the tools are there. The tools are incredible. I know you know this, but the tools are just so amazing in terms of what you have access to. You can target, you can find, you know, your exact ideal customer in a matter of minutes, right?
Yeah.
So then it becomes, what value do you provide? You just cut right to the chase. What value are you providing? And to me, it doesn't make sense, or it's like a waste of energy and effort and money many times to say, I'm just going to do all this marketing, but then I'm not kind of simultaneously bringing the value. Because someone like you could say, create this great marketing plan for someone, but then you need to have the value creation as well. So that's how I look at it myself. And I probably fail in a bunch of areas, but it's like me, that's how I've tried to build out anything that I do, even with my law practice, right? It's like, we got to have the value creation in addition to just that marketing and social and taking advantage. Because I think if you're good at telling the story, there's so many avenues that you could probably sit down with someone and say, oh my gosh, we got to tell the story in this way, right? And that's where you get people on board on your team, right? To say, to help me tell the story, which platforms are we going to use? What kind of posts? That's where someone like you can come in and say like, what makes sense? Is it video? Is it audio? Is it written media? Is it, you know, something like
all of those things?
Yeah, exactly. All, why not be everywhere, right?
Right.
So that's how I think about it. And I don't know, maybe hopefully that answers your question, but that's how I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it also brings back to your point that you made earlier about everybody does have a story. And you do have a thing that you can do or sell or share. And it's the first step is believing that about yourself or having somebody point it out to you and then figuring out the best way to put it out there. So yeah, beautifully stated. My second question was, so what is a big danger or like pitfall that people can fall into? It doesn't have to be legal, but something that they can fall into or maybe aren't aware of with their marketing for whatever.
So, okay. I mean, the first thing that came to mind when you said pitfall was just not starting, not doing it. I think like just having this like fear of entry, right? I think for me, I'll just speak candidly for myself. Sometimes it comes from fear of failure, like not knowing what to do and feeling like, hey, I don't know how to jump in, right? I kind of like got to look for the stairs into the pool rather than just jumping in. And I think that's okay. I think that's a fair, right, concern. But the biggest problem sometimes is just not starting, not even doing it. I think the second problem that I face myself is just not being consistent, right? Kind of jumping in and then jumping out and then kind of thinking, oh, okay, I tried it. I did it. You know, I fully believe that And I love this story from a filmmaker that I used to follow, used to idolize, Robert Rodriguez. I think he made like 43 short films before he made his famous short film, Bedhead, that won all these awards. So it's like, I always think, you know, I got to do 43 of something before it hits, right? That just in, I think it was 43. I don't even know if that's the right number. That's just what I remember in my head. But 43, do 43. So imagine saying like, I got to write 43 books before I like really kind of hit it big, right? Or really have success. So I think like that just strikes me as like the consistency, right? Don't be afraid to be consistent. And then consistency teamed up with the willingness to experiment. It's like doing the same thing over and over doesn't automatically make you better. Like I always think the example, if that were true, we'd have the fastest typers in the world, right? It's like, no, it doesn't happen. Like everyone just kind of levels off, right? On typing. And because we just practice the same thing over and over, but we don't actually practice to get better. We don't change. We don't do things that make us better. So that's the other thing with social is like, hey, if you're not getting the result, like change it up. And I think even with marketing, I've done different things with ads, you know, different types of content. You know, most of the time with ads, what I've noticed is the first round of ads, you lose money. So then it turns into, okay, let's tweak it. What do we got to do? Do we got to target differently? Is it the ad? What is it? And the results don't come until months later or a long period of time later where you kind of tweak things and you find that kind of sweet spot. So, it's similar with general content marketing, right? You don't automatically know what resonates with people until you try something. So try it and then keep doing it. Keep going.
Yeah. I mean, social media marketing in general, whether it's paid ads or content or videos, whatever, none of that happens overnight. I mean, you can strike it lucky and maybe get something that goes viral, but you know, people are saying, okay, we're going to post 5 times a week for 3 weeks. And then what? I'm going to have 7,000 followers. And I'm like, it doesn't really work that way. I can't tell you how many followers. That's why I have people, you know, sign like 6 or 12 month contracts because they think 3 posts and then, you know, they're going to be making tons of money. I'm like, no, it's kind of a long game.
Yes. It's like, when would you want to stop telling your story? Like how long do you want to tell your story? Right? Like, well, I don't know, forever. Right. I mean, as long as I'm in business. So it is, I think those are some of the traps that I fall into too. Like, cause it's easy. You just say, oh, I'm getting busy and things like that. But I think it's exactly, you know, exactly what you said.
Wonderful. Wonderful tips. What a great, great show this has been. I have really enjoyed listening to you share about your story and your writing and bringing your family in. Such an amazing amount of work that you're doing right now, and the seeds that you're planting are phenomenal. So thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
I know another thing that's so amazing about the show is like, I think I know what we're going to be talking about. Cause he's like, John, he's a lawyer. Okay. We'll be talking about lawyer stuff. And like, here we are talking about farts and children's books. It's awesome.
That's the world I live in. Welcome in. You know, we talk about movies, books, law. You want to talk law, business, startups, whatever. We'll just changes every time. So glad. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Our pleasure. I'm sure our listeners have been greatly entertained and they're going to go right out there and go to this episode and click on the link and check out your books and more about you. So that's great. I have a 5-year-old nephew, so I'm already going to be checking out those books for him. So
amazing.
Excellent.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, John. We really appreciate your time. Looking forward to meeting you in person sometime, maybe at a book signing. I don't know, but keep spreading the joy.
Thank you both. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening to our show and coming on an adventure with us and John Mashney. We release episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Find us at zediamedia.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast, please visit zediamedia.com and click connect. Have a great day. Bring joy to somebody and go on an adventure.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at zediamedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to zediamedia.com. That's zediamedia.com and sign up.
This is a Zedia Media production.